Okay. Oh. Should I start? Maybe by presenting the project a little bit. Okay, so historically it was last year, Prof. Dilambourg in his CSCW classes asked the student to design a table.
Okay.
And all the students, and Guillaume was a student of this class,
okay,
was very excited to design such a table. So he decided to make more research on this topic. So the general topic is about interactive table, disappearing computer.
Okay.
What is the other one? So in the general field of collaborative computer-supported collaborative learning. So the idea is we have different people collaborating in a pedagogical purpose. And we know that when we put a computer in front of them, it doesn't help focusing on collaboration.
Yeah.
So if we make the computing functionalities disappearing in furniture, in the wall, or other things like that, we may more efficiently support the collaboration than the learning. So I arrived in June, something like that, a couple of months ago. Guillaume and Michael are two students that are working for 4 months to their master project.
Okay.
And they start working on two different sub-projects. So Guillaume is working on the noise sensitive table. It's what we are discussing about today.
Okay.
So the idea is, okay, we have in the lab a notion about group mirroring. The idea is if we can provide a feedback to people working together, it may help them self-regulating their activity, their collaboration. So it could be normative or not. In our case, we want to have a table that would be accessible by students. At EPFL, we are...
Voilà. Okay.
At EPFL, the learning center will be built in a couple of years. So the idea, we will have plenty of rooms, like in libraries or meeting rooms, where students will arrive and work. So if we have this table that is accessible to students, they arrive, if we provide a feedback of who is talking at one moment or through time, or what is the turn taking, maybe they will, just by seeing an explicit feedback of that, they will take profit of it. And
so do you know which way you give the feedback? Light or ISO,
yes,
something like that?
Okay, for the noise sensitive table project, we decided to take the noise as input.
Okay.
And give a feedback with lights on the table. So this is one of the possibilities that were offered to us, but we decided to do it this way.
The idea is to have peripheral information. We don't want people to focus on what's going on, on the feedback. So we don't want histogram or very precise information. But we will have LEDs that will be distant. There will be 6 centimeters between each LED with a blurring glass. The idea is to have more a kind of artistic feedback, to have a kind of general feeling of what's going on. Something about more...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just a restriction we took. So we don't depress the amount of money we have to spend. Otherwise, we could have we could imagine to have a whole table of LEDs.
Yeah.
And then you can really start to assume some regions on the table, so...
Maybe more complex, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the first idea of the project was to have the whole table covered by lights.
But, yeah.
But for the prototype,
for practical reasons,
this is not the way we implement it now.
to the border, basically, some
In fact, we have...
We kept one paper sheet.
Yes, there was the restriction that if we cover the table with LEDs, some won't be visible because you have...
Obviously, yeah.
Yes. So, if there is information displayed under the sheets, it won't be very useful. So we decided to have it, yes, 30 centimeters.
Okay.
So the first shape of the table, the shape of the table obviously is one of the factors that will change the collaboration.
Mm.
So, but we don't want to start with too many parameters. So okay. We start with a table that is approximately the table of the table where we are now.
Yeah.
And we will have a square shape like this that will be here on the second one that would be there.
Yeah.
So we will have something like this.
Okay.
Like this. That will be our first real prototype.
Right.
Okay, and so these LED modules are being designed now. Should have them in a couple of
weeks.
Mm. And we will be able to start evaluating prototypes. About the CSCW class, that will start at the beginning of November. So the student will be asked to design a table, so to find the shape of the table, to cut wood and put that on table legs. And we will, so at the beginning we wanted to put these LED modules in the tables, but we won't make it because for solidity reason of the table, you know, it's not very strong wood. So we will rather beam the LED on the table. So we come back to a more richer display, but we will restrict it to small, to have the same display. Lights that will be distant 6 centimeters between lights.
Okay.
So we will simulate.
This is for practical reason also, but no matter of time because...
Yeah. What do you think with the beam? Also, you have less problems with the sheets.
Yes, but
there
are other problems like yes, the information display on the sheets. So
confusing. Yeah.
Yes,
And we have the feeling that to have the information embedded in the table, make it part of the table. I don't know. We will try. We don't really know what will happen with this prototype. We are very excited about that.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe before going on this subject, we can talk a little bit.
Yeah, I can just explain my project. It's completely different from this one. Well, it's also about tables, but the idea is if several students come to a table with their laptops, they should be able to share information easily.
Okay.
And in fact, what we are doing now, we project another screen on the table, and different people are able to use their mouse of their laptop to go to the projected screen there.
Okay.
And the projected screen is just another Windows machine that is running.
Yeah.
So you just have another computer more or less you can use, but you can use it with your own mouse and keyboard.
But physically, it's just something flat.
Exactly.
On the table again. Yeah.
But in contrary to having another keyboard and mouse that only one person can use now, the different persons can use the screen at the same time with the mouse.
Okay.
So based on the fact that most of the EPFL students have their own laptop, the idea is, the similar idea is to, okay, people are coming and should be able to very easily use some resources offered to them.
Okay.
So the idea is to help them socializing, organizing their own work, and not in a classroom setting, but in a social place where they could gather.
Okay. Yeah, so it's different, but still,
Still same subject. It's about collaborative work, but
different directions.
It has nothing to do with audio processing and LEDs.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe we can focus a little bit more on the what we have done about the noise-sensitive table.
Yeah.
Tell you about what we are interested in, and so we start. So Guillaume started by developing the application that get the audio input. So we wanted to have a modular architecture to be able to improve each layer separately.
Okay.
So the audio input is quite basic now. We use sound cards to get the signals and to detect and we have a threshold to detect when someone is talking, at least when
okay.
the noise is bigger than specific levels.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get this information about people talking, not talking, to say, okay, this one is talking for X time or has been talking X percent of the five last minutes, or two people are talking together. So this is more semantic layer. We call that interaction models. And so when different conditions are detected, we trigger an interaction event.
Mm-hmm.
So a very simple one could be one person is talking.
Yeah.
So it's an easy one.
And there is a lot of problems now about this implementation.
It's still in progress.
It's not obvious.
Still in progress.
Anyway,
almost done.
I think the details of the implementation is not that important. It's more important that first want to have some events like two people are talking or one
right.
one started and another started and well, more or less broke into the speech of the first person and so on.
Okay.
And then you can start to visualize these different situations.
So the last layer is about this visualization. We will we are thinking about visual grammar, meaning that when we have an interaction event that is fired, we will associate a way of visualizing it.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, if someone is talking, we can just have a light that will center on the point that is close to him.
Mm-hmm.
That could be an instant feedback. And if he has been talking maybe 70% of the last 5 minutes,
or
as
long.
Me, it may be reflected as the intensity or size of a cycle.
Okay.
Center on the same point.
Yeah.
And then if there is turn taking, we can show waves of light going from me to you or from other people. Or using the center part of the table to show something more about the more general dynamic.
Well, that's I guess it's the first prototype.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we start with people. Do people talk or don't they? Afterwards, one could imagine that you, for example, you can detect that someone is a bit angry or is yelling, and with
or
different
laughing.
Colors. With different colors on the table, you could display this.
So you
give some feedback, but
you might have multiple colors. Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's.
So I didn't get that.
We can change so we have 8x8, two times LEDs. Each LED is actually three LEDs. RGB LED, and we can change the intensity.
Right.
So it's already quite rich feedback.
Once we get the hardware.
Yes.
And just the last thing. So this table is two different things. It's one object that will provide a feedback to the terminal users,
mm-hmm.
people collaborating around the table.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a tool for us as a researcher to test both the interaction event we want to detect
mm-hmm.
and to test the visualization. So we will be able to edit some interaction rules and visualization grammar, and we will be able to process, to post-process some conversation just to see what happens,
mm-hmm.
and to have these models and feedback working when people are using the table.
Okay. Right, it's quite clear. So guess you want to know what you could do with an array, maybe?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, everything from registration of audio and how you can analyze it, what information you can get out of speech and so on. So.
I have one more question. I don't know if you want to begin with the explanation about the arrays.
Maybe we could summarize the question we were thinking about.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Okay.
Just give some questions.
So, I have actually two questions that are just practical questions about my implementation now.
Mm-hmm. So basically what we want to know when A is talking, B is talking, and basic information menu.
So the first information is about the noise level, not the noise level, the sound level. Because what you get from the microphones is a curve, and the way it is implemented now to detect. Yes, you have. I have packets of. Let's say this is not fixed, but I have packets for about half a second, a second.
Okay.
Let's say a second. And on this packet, I want to know the sound level, the average sound level.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I do it now is to take each top of the curves, bottoms, and just making an average of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's not really the best way to do it, but I don't know if...
You mean the top of the waveform?
Yes.
Okay.
Probably it would be a good idea if you have two or three results like books or web pages that give a lot of information how this audio programming and so on works. That, maybe you know some at least a good book that's dealing with stuff.
Maybe we can go through the different questions and then you can organize your.
So this is this is the first.
I would just add something. We are not interested so much in sound level, but in the level of the sound that corresponds to voice.
Yes, but I think this is two different problems. The field learning must be done before.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
After that, if you have a clean curve, you can just apply
okay.
Function.
Go on.
And the second question was about filtering and FFT.
Mm-hmm.
What you can get from it.
Okay.
And I would add one more. It's about because what we can record is sound origins, sonic points.
Yeah.
But what we are interested in is people.
Yeah.
So the question is, if someone is moving, I'm talking here, I stop talking, I'm going here, I'm talking, how to detect that it's the same people? If we want to integrate information to say, these people has spoken 70% of the time in the five last minutes,
okay.
Obviously we need to know that it's the same people. So right now, our practical solution is to have a microphone close to every place where people are supposed to sit.
Mm-hmm.
So we can infer that if a sound is coming in this area, it's the same. It's a kind of trick.
Mm-hmm.
For the beginning, it's enough.
Yes, I will just add something. Is there a way to from one stream to build two streams that correspond to the voice of one people and the voice of the second?
Yeah. Okay. Separation. Yeah.
Yes.
And it's possible to do this in real time.
Yeah.
And the last question that is related to the last, if I don't find another one, about people, if someone is leaving, or if someone, maybe it would be something quite complex even for you, if someone is staying here, but is quiet,
mm-hmm.
or living, how can we detect that someone is here but quiet?
Okay. Well, you need a camera.
I know, obviously. How to integrate the information.
I mean, will you have a camera?
No.
No.
So not yet. It's maybe later on.
Maybe you can detect breathing.
Or the weight on the seat.
Yeah. Yeah, that you could do. Or on the table. There should be one.
Yeah, but what happens if someone is standing then?
Or putting his bag on the... Okay. But it was just to...
Okay.
It's a question. I'm not sure we will talk too much about that today.
Actually, it's a sound question. Sound related question.
Okay.
Well, not directly, but
it's related.
Mm.
Well, so in a couple of days we will get this the FireWire box.
Okay.
So we have chosen one that has 8 line up.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be able to line in. Sorry. So we will be able to plug up to 8 microphones with jack plugs.
Okay.
2 XLR with the possibility of extending with 8 more XLR. Microphone.
So you, I think
robot.
Guillaume said that's optic, something like that.
Yeah. Yes, the communication between
okay.
the extension.
So you need a different, you need a microphone with a device inside, right?
No. In fact,
how does it
no,
work?
No.
That's another thing. This optic. Well,
so
we have
the computer. We have the main box with the 8 line in
the FireWire port.
Okay.
And there is an extension for this. This device,
yeah,
disconnected to it,
is optic
with optic fiber.
To have 8 more XLR, if we need it.
Okay.
But we are not sure to buy it now, but we can extend it.
Actually, it's not really an extension to the first box, just
okay.
an industry standard
hmm.
protocol between these two.
It's another FireWire. Well, not FireWire, but.
Well, there's a special protocol to
okay.
to deliver. Audio signals and
but
it's passed through.
Concretely, you would use that to get higher quality signals?
Yes.
That's all.
Just
yes.
to have the XLR.
We are not sure about what kind of
XLR.
Microphone we should use.
Okay.
So we wanted to. That's a first thing. So we wanted to have open possibilities. And secondly, maybe we will use this box, you know, to get data. I don't know if. In another experiment, maybe in another project, if we want to have comments of different people around the table or elsewhere,
yes.
getting having the possibility of using XLR microphone could be neat.
Mm.
So everything is open.
Because for now, I'm just sampling the sound at 8,000, so just something very, very, I could even go to lower.
Okay.
But this is just to get the noise, the sound level. But if I want to record the conversation with a processing,
you mean 8 kilo sampling frequency?
Yes, to have a better sound quality. And perhaps it's better to have a XLR.
Yeah.
Something like that.
We use 16, so that's 8 kilo bandwidth, 16
yes.
kilo sampling frequency. It's not bad.
Sometimes.
It's quite decent.
Okay.
Before answering the questions, there's also a point of precision of localization if you use an array.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use higher frequencies, you can get more precise localization.
Sure.
But maybe you don't need it.
What is the gain in terms of precision?
That I can't answer directly.
Centimeter or so more?
It depends on your setup, you know.
Okay.
You have to test, basically.
What you get is the real position or just the angle at which the sound comes?
You get the angle.
Mm-hmm.
The most precise one is the azimuth in the horizontal plane.
Mm-hmm.
Then you also get elevation, but it's not very precise. It's more of an indication. And radius is very bad.
Okay.
If you use a planar geometry like this one.
Yes, sure.
Yeah. You can use multiple ones and do some triangulation.
Yes, because there is just 4 microphones that are...
Eight. These are only screws.
Okay,
the
yes.
Microphones
okay,
are
but
on
they
the
are in a plan.
Yeah.
Okay. Because at EPFL there is a lab that is has done almost the same thing, but they have 8 microphones that are at yes the eight corner of
a cube. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, then you might get better direction in elevation, but I'm not sure it's really relevant.
The elevation.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
what is could be relevant. It's not almost. It's not always the case that the.
If people move forward.
Yes, the position, the radius. Of the
the radius.
Yes.
Then
could
the problem is not the geometry. It's the. You need more than one, basically.
Yes. Okay.
With one, you will only get direction.
More than one.
Microphone array.
Yes, because. Because the distance between the microphone is too is too low to
okay.
Well, so you say this one already works to tell
direction. Yeah.
Would it also work if you placed the microphones at the border of the table? You see now you have it quite central.
Yeah.
And what happens if you put them here on around the table? Will it work as well or?
It's a different option. Yeah.
You just didn't try. Or?
We haven't tried that because we are not going towards a special kind of table.
Mm-hmm.
More, this is not a good example, but we have like a box. We just bring the box and put it.
Yeah.
So we could not consider that.
Yeah,
but in
clear.
Your case, it could be interesting. Yeah. Unless people put something on the microphone.
Yes, sure.
But
they won't have nice light. Lighting on in front of them.
Yeah.
But I think the most relevant part is the other hardware that synchronizes the microphones and that.
Right. But that I think after the meeting we can go and talk to Olivier about that.
Yes.
Another person for hardware.
So maybe you could present a different work
You
have done and I don't know how they are.
Yeah, I'll try to present, I guess it corresponds to your questions.
So you told us it was different pieces
more
than the one integrated.
Device. So the lowest layer would be the first two questions. You asked about how to detect activity. Currently
yes.
You're thresholding the maximum of your waveform, right?
Not maximum, the average on the packet.
Okay. And you're looking for a peak?
Yes, I take when I go up to the curve,
yeah.
I'm at a local maximum,
yeah.
I take it, then the next local minimum, taking this.
Okay.
What would be the difference between detecting the average or detecting the maximum?
Yes. Difference?
What would be the difference? What is the difference?
The difference is that if I just...
It's a kind of filtering already.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And your second question was about FFT, what can be done with FFT.
Yes.
So the approach we're taking here is to answer both questions at the same time. We use FFT to do detection. We don't use the waveform, the raw waveform. So...
Your FFT implementation is
we split the signal in small frames.
Yes.
Like 16 milliseconds.
16.
Each frame is taking 32 milliseconds of signal, just to give an idea. And there is one frame every 16 milliseconds, and they overlap of 50%.
Okay. So it's 32 millisecond frames taken
each 16 millisecond. Well, these are details, it's just to give
an idea. Something like that. So why are you overlapping?
Well, it's...
I have a rough idea, but...
Because usually when you do FFT, we're getting into details, but you apply a window
mm-hmm.
to avoid aliasing effect. So the beginning and the end
is kind of crappy.
It's not crappy, it's just not very much represented because you apply a window which has this shape, window.
Mm-hmm. So you use the first or the last point to detect what is between.
No, I'm saying when you take your signal, you take one frame, you apply the window.
Mm-hmm.
And the window is simply coefficients you give, and you give higher coefficient to the middle than to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do overlap,
you
will lose information mm-hmm. at the beginning and the end.
Okay,
but you don't have to do overlap.
Yes, no, I'm just because we are using an open source framework
mm-hmm.
to do this. There is something, I don't know if you know it, called Sphinx. That is doing.
CMU, no?
Sorry.
Is it from CMU?
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing voice recognition.
Yeah.
And I just use it for the framework for the microphone and the acquisition.
Right.
So there is already an FFT module implemented in it.
Yeah.
I didn't test it.
Yeah.
But
FFT is only a tool.
Yes, sure.
What we do really is phase domain analysis. We only use the phase between the microphones.
Yes, for the position, you say.
Yeah, but also for detection.
Also for detection.
Yeah. We have a way. So I don't think I should get into details, but basically the beginning is your signal, which you slice into frame, you do FFT on each mic, and the end is a number of frequency bins which are used by each person to explain roughly.
So
when you speak,
mm-hmm.
speech is wideband,
mm-hmm.
so the more active you are, the more bandwidth you use. So you will get a large value of bandwidth for people who speak,
mm-hmm.
and for the others it will be random, it will be a small value.
Corresponding to breath or detail noise?
Or just background noise.
Okay.
But
you're talking about the microphone array here.
Yeah, because one problem if you use energy-based methods, which is probably more the thing you've been using so far, is that it's not quite related to location.
No.
So you can have
strong background noise.
For one person, you can have a high energy signal, which is difficult to locate, and vice versa. I think in your case, you're quite interested in the location. So I would advise to use more phase domain methods.
So phase.
That's something with FFTs.
Once you have the FFT, for
mm-hmm.
each frequency, you have the magnitude
mm-hmm.
and the phase. So you can compare the phase of the microphones, and this is directly linked to the direction of the person.
So the magnitude you don't really use,
Sometimes we use it, but not. It's not the first thing we use. I know it's a bit counterintuitive, but. Maybe I'll go.
Well,
yeah.
I did a speech processing course.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they also learned that we more use the phase than the magnitude. So,
right, for a single channel, it's not very meaningful. But here it's relative phase between the microphones. So I just tried to.
You have to detect an event on one microphone and know when it happened on the other one.
No, that's what I don't do.
Okay.
This would be valid for like speech recognition with a single channel. That would be a very good idea. But if you choose to use multiple channels, let's say you have four of them. With FFT, you can just, as I said, look at the phase between the microphones at a given frequency?
So the phase, the time between audio signals of this microphone.
It is linked to this value. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, the time you're mentioning is this value, and this is the frequency, and this is an angle in radians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So FFT gives you a measure of these values. This, I can point to a paper. I don't think this is the right place to explain everything, but we'll give you, if you look at your table, what we have developed here is an approach where you divide the space in sectors.
Mm-hmm.
For example, 10 sectors around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And in each sector, you will get a value.
It's related to the number of microphones or?
No.
No.
It's application dependent. For example, on this one, you could have a large value. On those one, small values. These are number of frequencies, which we estimate with several steps from these measures. So to conclude, what we are doing is we estimate how much of the frequency spectrum you are occupying when you speak, or I am occupying in this direction when I speak.
Okay.
And it turns out that this is quite good to do detection and localization at the same time. Because you know in a sector of space there is this much activity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a measure of the activity. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. More recently, I've worked on prolongating this with a more precise direction evaluation to know where in the sector the person is. So that's not much work. Once you have done this, this can be done quite quickly.
What happens if two persons are talking at the same time?
Then
just get two sectors that are higher than
others. Well, I use a value. Then you get two large values. Yeah.
And do you get something about the distance of the guy that is talking, or just the direction?
Just direction.
There is a distance, but it's not very very effective.
Well, yeah,
as you mentioned.
It's not. It's an inherent problem to the geometry.
Yes.
You can, for example, if you use another array, can intersect lines of direction.
Okay.
And from this kind of information, you can let's say have a fingerprint of the user to know if this is the same user speaking.
maybe.
Right. Because the
I wouldn't trust it too much. Classically, what you do is you extract the signal of the person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One interesting thing is that these numbers are not arbitrary things. They represent the number of frequencies where a given person is dominant. When you have two of them, which might be interesting for separation, you know already when you have done this processing which part of the frequency, the spectrum, belongs to this person and to that person. And then it's easy to separate the signals.
You mean that each person will have a specific frequency because the way it's talking, or its localization?
Oh, it's small down.
It's a kind of speaking style. What?
No,
it's more an instantaneous. This is still instantaneous. This is for one time frame.
Yes. Okay.
If you look at all your frequencies, for example, 0 to 4 kHz, you can split it and say all these parts belong to person one here. And all the other parts belong to the other person.
This is a bit arbitrary because perhaps person two will have some frequencies in the range of.
That's correct, but then you can look statistically, it will be negligible.
Okay.
Because of the difference level.
And if you reconstruct the stream from this this range, you will get something that is.
Yeah, it's you can listen to it. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can do some maybe higher level analysis where you get the pitch of the person.
Mm-hmm.
And don't really get your last diagram.
Yes.
So it's at one given moment still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say that. This frequency belongs more to this person, and this one more to this one.
Exactly.
But some frequency maybe are not used neither by guy one or the guy two.
Then it's random, and that's why you get these values.
Okay.
Which are random.
And maybe they are using the same frequency.
Yeah.
So you need to.
Yeah, but this is very rare.
Okay.
And when it happens, one is always masking the other.
Okay.
In practice.
Okay.
So,
and can you detect if someone is laughing or angry or is there a kind of signature, even if we can't really trust it 100% of the time?
I've seen quite a few papers. I've not done it myself, I'm really on the lowest level. But once you have done this, as I said, you can separate the signals. And
do processing on it.
Do processing.
Okay.
So you can get pitch, rate of speech. That's quite
pitch.
Easy. Pitch.
I'll show you this now.
Timbre en français.
Right. Okay.
So for different persons, it might be quite different. At least for male, females. And rate of speech. Like if somebody is talking very. In a very energetic manner, might be quite fast.
Mm-hmm.
Or just energy or so.
Okay, you can, this way you can filter perhaps some range that are just very low frequencies for perhaps a noise.
Yeah, also. That might be an issue if people are bringing laptops.
The fan?
They will, yeah. They might be detected as another source, so you would have to classify the sources as human or machine.
Okay.
But again, yeah, I think once you see the spectrum, if it's just pure and stable,
if you don't really detect the pitch, it's
also yeah.
It's not the same pitch.
So yes, but this is very interesting because this way you can detect. If someone is talking, if someone has some noise with perhaps putting his cup on the table,
yeah.
Perhaps if there is a laptop and in one position.
So all will go and be detected there.
And you can classify this.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is very good. What you're mentioning is a pain for us. For you, it might be because we're only interested in getting the speech. But for you,
okay.
It would be quite,
yes.
Quite good. Yeah. So I've tried to avoid filtering and smoothing, because as soon as you do that, you exclude some of the information.
Yes.
So it's better to keep it for the latest stage. So on top of this, there's another part, which is more linked to the tracking. All this was for a one-time frame. So,
and the length of the time frame has an influence of on which parameters?
Yeah, you can play with it. In speech, it's stationary over 10, 20 milliseconds. And we make a stationary assumption, local stationarity assumption. Which allows you to use FFT, blah blah blah.
Okay.
Now, in spite of that, I know some people use much longer windows, which is not a problem.
There is. Let's say if you use a 1 second window.
a little bit too much, I think.
In fact, the frame length will be very
meaningful. Well, if you do this.
Yes.
Some very small words, like yes, they might be 200 milliseconds or 300 milliseconds.
They won't be visible on the
waveform. Okay. They might be blurred with silence.
Yes.
So, yes, you might have to play with it just to save processing time, but use slightly longer frames.
But the longest frame you would use would be 100.
Yeah, at most. Yeah.
At most. Okay.
Simply because I've used 100 as a minimum length of speech word.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So. Now, assuming you have done this for each time. If this is your theta, well, I should use a different. If this is your azimuth, at each time you get a direction.
What is azimuth?
So azimuth is your direction in horizontal plane,
uh-huh.
It's an angle.
Okay.
Like north, south, east, west.
Okay. So and where you represent the phase?
Yeah. No. This is
okay.
Really different. I'm just saying that once you have done this,
mm-hmm.
for a given time frame,
mm-hmm.
you can have a direction of the person.
Okay.
At least in terms of sector,
mm-hmm.
and it's also possible to give a more precise direction quite quickly. So, this was kind of the lowest layer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a layer just above it, which might interest you. If you repeat that over time, you will see patterns. For example, at two different locations.
Okay, so you can.
Two different persons will speak.
Okay.
So you can cluster those.
Into one user, yes.
And you will see that if it's long enough, it's some significant event. This can be done quite cheaply.
Yes, before I forget it,
yeah.
I have one question. You say you do the processing afterwards.
Yeah.
And what is the
cost?
The cost, yes, the length.
Yeah.
One or a bit longer?
Well, I use MATLAB, so it's
okay.
Not perfect. It's like three.
Yes, but MATLAB is very very effective for matrices and.
Yeah, but not everything is simple linear.
Okay.
Especially in this part, it's definitely not linear because you're looking at the maximum energy in the frequency. Kind
yes.
The most expensive part is here. With MATLAB, I have 3-4 times real time.
Okay.
You can do suboptimal processing, and for example, here I'm considering all possible pairs of microphones, which is 28.
Yes.
And the processing is directly
relative,
proportional to that. So you can save on that, but then you lose a little bit of precision. Also, I'm using all these small frames with 50% overlap. I don't think you really need absolutely to do that.
And even if you use 4 microphones,
it's not that good in
not
terms
good.
Of direction.
Okay.
I would be careful with that.
Okay.
Like 5-6 is decent. 6, I would say.
And 8 is good.
8, I get down now to 1-2 degrees root mean square error. So
there is, yes.
You might not need that, that's what I mean. Might not be.
Yes, 1-2 degrees is very, very small for our application because we really want to detect if this is the same person that is speaking or not. If there is an error of, let's say, 10-15 degrees. but it is capable of seeing it is two different patterns. There is not problems with that.
So it could be sufficient to define enough sectors.
Okay, and the number of sectors is not dependent of the number of microphones.
No. So it's arbitrary. I use 20 degree sectors.
Okay.
Because I had to choose a value. But it's up to you.
Well, otherwise it could also just rely on the frequency band separation and detect that way the different persons. And then you don't really know where around the table it is. So that
if there is two persons in the same sector, you see.
Well, it depends a bit how you do it, but if you place the microphones.
So that's another way. It's almost like having an apple.
That way you can separate where's the voice louder than also loudest.
It's not necessarily a bad idea, actually.
Well, it's quite a different thing, and you don't really get an angle, but.
Well, if you are able to calibrate your microphones, the ones who are closer to the person will get more energy. So you can compare that. It's possible.
At the end, it depends a bit what you want.
I have experience with that. On the side, I've done some single channel work, which can maybe help. Because it seems to me that you are not definite on geometry, right?
No. Geometry is not, we have not solved a lot about it.
This part is quite specific to a microphone array, where they are concentrated in some place, like in the middle of the table.
Yes.
Because if we are distributing the microphone all around the table, then we come back to the energy solution. Is it what you say?
Yeah. But you can kind of come back to that also.
With the energy solution or with FFT too?
FFT also,
But I think what is very important here is the synchronization of the microphones.
Right. It has to be.
Okay. I'm speaking about it because we wanted to do this table in a mid-tech way, let's say a cheap way.
Yeah.
To have not very expensive tables. So I don't know if what I've seen on your website was that this installation was a bit expensive.
Yeah.
but I'm trying to.
There are many things.
To see what is very important and what is not.
You can also consider directional microphones.
Yes.
You know, no. So
the
you can
between the
their pattern is not the same depending on the direction where the person is. For example, if there was a directional microphone pointing there, you would get most of my energy, but less from you, etc. You can also do microphone arrays with directional microphones.
Yes, I think you have to
might not be relevant, but
what would be the difference? You will not compare each mic with all the other one. But just comparing this one with the.
Well, it depends on what you want. I mean,
it's a completely other approach. So,
yeah.
So what are these mics, for instance? They are electric mic,
omnidirectional. Omnidirectional, yeah.
Electric?
Okay. I guess.
These are some kinds of.
It's the same, exactly the same.
Expensive?
Yeah.
Expensive.
Quite expensive.
Because
can you say
the quality of the.
Yeah, they are high quality mics.
And they are plugged on the XLR or?
I think we can leave this question for Olivier.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, for the hardware.
And when you were talking about comparing energy in the case where a microphone would be distributed all around the table,
yeah,
you're comparing energy and the time delay?
No. You would.
So the time delay is too short to be compared or can be neglected?
You would neglect it. The time delay is very small. It's only used for getting a direction when you have a microphone array.
Okay.
But in that case, it's not relevant. You would assume that they are roughly synchronized, not necessarily very precisely,
mm-hmm.
and compare the energy levels. But I have no experience with that.
Okay.
No, I don't know. You don't want to use. Ah, it's almost. Okay.
Let's have a break.
Yes, then. Cool.
Okay.
Non, mais c'est bien intéressant. Je comprends enfin mieux dans quoi on pédale depuis le début.
On n'a plus le droit de poser de questions en avant parce que sinon on ne sera pas sur la vidéo.
C'est vrai que j'avais du mal à recycler mes souvenirs de physique et tout ça dans...